Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Witches are alive, witches are alive. Hey, I celebrate life. I don't celebrate that death like that old lady with the golden red shoes. Yeah, they're not that golden.
So this is like how they've done the musical Wizard of Oz from the perception of the... Of the witches to make Wicked,
yeah,
right. You're doing a sort of a version which is a from the point of view of somebody who doesn't really fall on either side.
Mm.
You know, maybe a bystander. What are the Oompa Loompas? Oompa Loompas? Yeah, sure, from a different film.
Yeah, look, it's possible. I was also not celebrating the death,
Munchkins.
Yeah, the Munchkins. I wasn't celebrating the death of the witch, so I wasn't necessarily seeing it as a positive thing that the witch is dead.
Exactly.
So I think maybe the Munchkins did.
They celebrated.
Yeah, they
ding
celebrated.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. But I imagine those are just the ding dong, the witch is dead, I think.
Wow. So
yeah.
So from the point of view of a creature who saw the dead body of the witch as a bed.
As a bed.
So possibly one of those kind of... it could be like a worm of some sort, like a maggot, maybe from the point of view of them.
Yeah, I mean, but they eat their bed, really, don't they?
True.
So it's sort of more as a large lunch.
Yeah. Know? Ding dong, the witch is a large lunch. Yeah, that would make more sense. Well, what creature is attracted to a dead body, but
doesn't
want to
eat it?
They just want to use it for rest.
Something that gets comfort
from decay.
This is interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of the time fetishes are sexual.
Mm.
All right? But why can't you want to sleep with the dead? And I do mean sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Why can't it be a necrophile? Why does it have to be a necrophile? Why can't it be a necrosnoozer?
Yeah. What are those people who fall asleep? They're
Narcoleptic. Necroleptic.
Yeah, a necroleptic.
I'm always falling asleep on dead people.
Necroleptics.
Yeah, I think that's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because is it perverted?
I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, some people could probably take offense, but it's really a condition.
Mm.
You know, so, like somebody would take offense if, let's say, you snuggled up with their great uncle.
I think your volume is coming up a bit low on here.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if your
could be somebody's turn it that way. Here you go, like that.
There we
is that
go.
A bit better?
Yeah,
you like
that's
that?
A bit better, boy-o.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now I'm talking. Yeah, love that's... a bit of a scratch sound.
Oh, yes. Mm. In a podcast. Always good for the start of one.
Well, I think that, you know, anybody who really wants to listen to the pod, you want their want to be... to go beyond like a mere scratch fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that stops them, I don't know if they're committed enough. But then again, who knows? Maybe yeah. I would take anybody.
We found the deal breaker for our listeners.
Mm.
Can I just say on the sleeping with on dead people?
Yeah.
It's like any relationship, you know, it starts out lust, right? You know,
yeah.
You want to have sex with the dead body.
That's where it always starts.
Yes. But over time, you know, you have other responsibilities, you know, life gets in the way.
Yes.
And a lot of the time it comes to the end of the day and the dead body's there in the mortuary or whatever, and you're just too tired to have sex with the dead body.
That does often happen, yeah.
So you just end up just sleeping next to each other.
Yeah, maybe checking your phone.
Checking your phone because you still have energy for that for some reason.
Well, because there seems to be endless amounts of energy for checking your phone.
Mm.
You never go, oh, I'm too tired to look at my phone. Oh.
I'll look at it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get up early and I'll look at my phone in the morning.
Yeah, I'll get straight to the looking.
So this is somebody who puts off, procrastinates looking at their phone. Is there something in that, sorry, but just in that second idea that I said of, like, you know, the necrophile relationship that is, well, is then now sort of become a bit formulaic or sure, whatever. They've forgotten what it was that made them.
It's a necrophilic relationship that's lost its spark.
Exactly.
Great.
I've got the 7-year itch.
Which actually the itch developed about a week in.
Yeah. And I think it might be something associated with bugs or something.
Some kind of bacterial thing from having sex with a dead witch.
It's still a witch.
But, you know, you'd think that it could be magic. Could be a curse.
What could be? Anything, really, isn't
well,
it?
Well, anything could be, but also the itch.
Mm.
Could either be bacterial or magical.
A magical itch?
Yeah. Oh,
imagine that.
I mean, itches are already pretty magical.
Mm.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
If you look, there's nothing happening.
It's a very minor curse of some kind, isn't it?
Mm.
If you look, there's nothing
there. You look, really, there isn't.
I mean, they tell me I've got tinea, but I've had a look. I don't see anything.
Oh, if you let it develop enough, you do see stuff. Often redness and a bit of puffiness.
Mm. But you can't see the fungus? It's a fungus, right? Yeah, you can't see the fungus. It's too small for the human eye. So from the from a perspective of somebody who doesn't have a microscope and doesn't know about microscopic fungi, you would look at it and say, somebody's been here, sort of scratching at me, making me itchy.
Maybe a ghost. This is kind of like, you know, if you're an old-timey scientist and you were trying to come up with a solution, why is my foot itching? It's a ghost tickling my foot with a hair.
Mm.
A ghost hair. Or maybe a real hair.
It could be a real hair, but then it takes it away before you get a chance to look.
Mm, it could be a very thin blonde hair, maybe a baby's blonde hair. You never know. Wonder why when you look at, you know, you check on your son who's sleeping
baby
in his
son,
cot.
My blonde baby sons, of which I have only three.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to relate to this analogy.
You know, when you look at them in their bed there in the middle of the night and you see a ghost leaning over their cot, you know, watching over them, right? And you think, oh, Lord, I hope that this ghost doesn't hurt my precious blonde baby, one of three.
One of three, I mean, I still would have the other two.
Yeah, but this one looks different to the other ones, and it would be nice to just have a bit of diversity in the thing. Anyway, you'd be lucky to know that it's only going there for its thin...
For a single thin hair.
Thin hair to tickle the foot... of a tinniatic, old-timey, bad scientist.
Exactly.
Does that put any kind of... does that calm you down in any way?
Yeah, that's a huge relief, actually.
Yeah,
and
great.
I'll bear that in mind next time I see I'm in the scenario that you describe.
Please bear that.
Yeah, in mind.
In mind or anywhere.
Okay. Bear that in thigh.
Yeah, bear that.
But the... Is it interesting to have a sketch in which an old-timey scientist is trying to do some kind of a test to work out if your disease is caused by ghosts? Like, in order to do that, right, you'd have to how do we you think about the processes that they go through to, say, detect a bacteria, right? They've taken a swab between your toes and they want to know if it's
petri
something.
Petri dish.
Yes, petri dish, all right? So they put it in some kind of nutrient broth, right? And they let it propagate and then they analyze the whatever it is. Now, what's the equivalent of that but for ghosts?
Mm.
You know, can you get a sample of the ghost? Can you catch the ghost and then put it in some kind of ghost-friendly environment where it'll thrive?
Well, I guess you could sort of try to get a swab and then rub it on a black and white or sepia tone photo of a house and see if you see any movement in the windows.
Yeah, or like a screaming face.
Yeah, because that could definitely
happen. The Ouija board and that kind of stuff is like a way to try and detect ghosts, isn't it?
Yeah. There's also, you know, you can do a bit of that audio recording and you listen for distortions. Or another thing that they do It's funny because I just listened to a podcast about people who believe in this kind of stuff, where they take like a radio that changes between channels, that fluctuates between channels, and they listen for any messages that they might pick up in the fluctuating, because they think that the ghost could sort of control the fluctuation to deliver a message, and it's not just random chance that
they'll hear something random thing. Could you do? Oh wait, what if? What, okay, how about this? Right, you go to the doctor.
Yeah,
and they are recording your heartbeat or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right, and then they say, oh my god, right, and they play back a bit of your heartbeat, and it's like thump 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 thump. Help! Thump, thump, thump. Help me! Thump, 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 thump.
And then the thumping goes not only from that, but then it starts going. Thump, 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 thump. Help me! Get me out of here!
Yeah, and then what happens? Now, is there a ghost in your chest?
Well, I think that.
Are they going to do a surgery? Would they do surgery in that? Like. Would they rush to surgery? Like, we don't have time. We know there's someone in there. We know it's crazy. There's no way there could be a person hidden inside your chest, right? But
if there is, it's crazy to let them die.
Exactly. Like, it is. We don't know how this is possible, but we've got to get in there.
Yeah.
Because.
And surely if it was a prank, you would stop them before they cracked open your rib cage.
A prank from you.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. But if it was
a prank from, say, a stethoscope manufacturer or...
Sure, yeah. I mean, look, yeah. So I think... So let's say they do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, there is a chance that this is just a scam that the doctor pulls so that he can charge the state for open heart surgery, because you can get a lot of money from the state, because this country has a really good med system, Medicare system. And so... But this is probably exactly what the Republicans are trying to warn people about, is that there's going to be doctors like this who are going to pretend like there's somebody trapped in your chest cavity so they can open up for emergency open heart surgery.
But maybe it's not that. Maybe it really is a little man in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, great.
Or they could have just been overhearing something from the next room.
That's true. Or... There could be, you know, like if you look.
They could be insane, incurably insane.
And so then you offer to crack open their skull.
Their skull. What's while your chest is open.
Yeah.
They open the chest.
Okay.
Right? So while they've got your chest open, they're like, no, there's nothing here. You know what that means? I must have hallucinated it.
Here's a saw.
By being incurably insane. Or maybe the little man was in my eardrum.
Yeah, or maybe the sound was coming from within my head.
In my head. There's no time to check if that's accurate, because...
We have to find where this man is.
Yeah, this man is. There's no time for me to sew you up even.
Can you help me? I'm going to dangle myself from this light, because I know you can't get up right now.
I'm going to get my belt out and lash myself to this light.
Yeah, to this... And then... While I dangle above you, use the saw just enough to get past the skull, but not so far in that it cuts into brain. And then all the way around.
How will I know? No, you'll know. You'll feel it. It feels different when you get through.
It feels like it's squishy. Trust me. It's got a hollow.
If it gets squishy, you've gone too far. Yeah.
It's like sawing through a coconut.
Yeah.
Right? But with like... With like what? Like
a human life.
A human life inside.
Possibly two.
Oh, that's right. Well, you don't know. The trouble is that you could cut in and accidentally cut the little man. The little man who's pressed up against your brain.
Oh, God.
But then if they open up his brain and they realize it's not in there.
I think when they open up his brain, the little man has to jump out.
Or he was inside the stethoscope tube.
Oh.
You know, like, you know, like it breaks, you know, like there's that separation where it goes up to your ears. Mm. That's where his legs are actually in there. And then his torso just goes down to the head of the stethoscope.
Yep.
Like dad was got his arms up to his side like that, and you cut it open, and he just comes out and he goes, "Oh, thanks so much for getting me out of there.
I hope I didn't cause any trouble."
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was... I was just walking around a stethoscope factory minding my own business.
And somebody said, "I bet you can't fit in one of those stethoscopes."
And then they played a prank on me and sealed it up and put me in plastic and sent me...
And that's the prank. It's a prank show.
It's a great prank. This is our prank show that's coming up.
It's a prank show called "Let's Hang Out in a Stethoscope Factory and See What We Can Get Up To."
Well, at the moment, none of the prank shows are doing stethoscope stuff and tiny man stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we show. Then the little man points to the cameras, and then the guys with his open chest and the guy with his skull cap off, they both laugh.
Wait, you didn't? Oh. Well, I feel really dumb. And then his brain falls out of the hole in the top of his head and falls into the guy's chest cavity.
Open cavity like that. And he goes, have a think about that.
Yeah. Well, Get that off your chest.
Well, that's thinking with your heart.
Hmm.
No, that doesn't make
sense. He's got his skull caved out. No, that's nothing like that.
Oh, this is what happens when you open up your mind.
What were we talking about just before the podcast, Alistair, that we were laughing at heartily? Oh, it was our idea of having rival podcasts and then starting another podcast where we compare the stats of the podcast.
So we always feel weird when the other person does a secret comedy project without us. And because I've started recording the possibility of some guided meditations.
And we want to reassure you, listeners, that everything's okay. Our relationship is still great. Mm-hmm. And we still, obviously, we care about you very, very much.
Yeah, and no matter what happens between us, we still love you. And you.
This is not your fault. This is not your fault. I am starting a podcast of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And Alistair's starting a podcast of his own.
Yeah, well, Andy's going to start one called The Andy Matthews Comedy Show.
Yeah.
So it is?
Podcast.
Andy Matthews Comedy Show podcast. Okay. And mine's going to be called, because I'm jealous, and so I'm going to start a rival podcast, The Alistair Trombley Birchall Show podcast.
No comedy. Comedy.
I mean, if it wasn't even a comedy, I guess it's easier for me to achieve, like, mastery of it because it doesn't need to be comedy. It can just be anything.
Right. And everything else is really easy to achieve.
Well, I'm not saying it's drama. I'm not saying it's...
It's anything.
It could be anything.
It could be anything. And so you can master it. What do you think would be the easiest thing to master? Obviously, in an audio format.
Mm. Up until a couple of days ago, I would have told you thumb twiddling.
Oh.
Right? But then I saw a video of a guy who can twiddle his thumbs by having one thumb go forward and the other thumb go the other way. And
does that look crazy? Like,
Andy, it looks fucking insane.
Are you serious?
I don't know. It just looks a bit weird, but it's just hard to do, I think.
Yeah,
because you can do it with your arms, because you can sort of really get them going.
Get a bit of momentum, get one arm going, and then bring the other arm
in, like that. And yeah, and they've got some weight to them and stuff like that.
But you really can't get much momentum with the thumb.
No, but thumb, it's all control. It's all control of the mind.
It's all conscious.
And you really gotta break your mind. It's like a horse. You got to break your mind in to allow it to do that. And I've done it, you know, I did that in my early years with the arms, but with the thumb.
With the spinning.
Yeah, spinning the arms.
Yeah.
One forward, one back.
Yep.
But thumbs, it's 100% concentration.
Yeah.
And so it's not, the easiest thing to master isn't thumb twiddling.
No.
So that eliminates one.
But I did say in an audio medium, so I mean... You could fake it. You could just be there on the podcast, your thumb twiddling podcast, saying, "I'm doing it. I'm doing it. They're going in opposite directions."
But you still have to sound believable, like you're.
That didn't sound believable.
I'm doing it. I suppose that's pretty good. I mean, it sounds a bit like you're twiddling your thumb, but oh, now I'm twiddling my thumbs. Oh, there they go. Yep, they're both going the same direction, and stop. And now, I'll just for my next trick, I will get them going in opposite directions. So the right one will go forward, and the left one will go back. And there they are. And as you can see that, there we go.
Alistair,
yeah?
You know how you said that you could achieve mastery of a different, of something that wasn't comedy really easily?
Yeah.
You've absolutely done it. That was uncannily like a podcast of a man twiddling his thumbs in one direction and then in opposite directions.
Well,
and I have this, and I haven't even recorded a single episode of my podcast yet.
Yeah.
And yours is already maxed out at 100% success.
Great. And so that's really great. I mean, I might have to put comedy in there just to, so that we're on the same ground.
I think you might have to, strictly speaking, take some comedy out because it was also a little bit funny as well.
Well, so that's the idea. We'll each have a rival podcast, and then we'll compete for who has the best downloads, who has the best
downloads. Not the most.
Not the most, but the best ones.
Who's downloading this in the highest quality?
And you know what would be, you know what's another stat in there we should look at is, is
drop-offs.
Who has the best gender diversity?
You're right.
You know, if you can get those stats like that.
Yeah. You can be hitting 50-50.
That's the best. Or 60-50.
Or, you know, Alistair, 10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10-10 to reflect all the different genders.
Wow. Imagine that. That would, you would have to get in so deep in with some subgenders. I'm not say calling them subgenders. I mean the genders. But, you know, some of the ones where there's less people.
Yeah.
In them.
Yeah, like there are in a sub.
Like in a sub. Marine sandwich. Anyway, you'd have to get so deep that you'd actually get almost 100% of the people of that gender.
Sure. But as a percentage of your listeners,
it's important. It just has to be equal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other way to do it is just get one of each.
Yeah, that's good too. Yeah.
50-50. Yeah, well, but then if you go to Spotify, you can see when people tune out as well, can't you?
It's true. Yeah, you can see how long people listen for. And
apparently, the people who come to the Two in the Think Tank episode, All of Me, expecting the song All of Me, they drop off pretty quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be. but it makes me think that maybe we should be calling all our episodes by song names.
Yeah,
because then people. People just accidentally click on it, going, "Oh, this logo is weird for that
song. Smells like Teen Spirit." Yeah. But all right. Oh, the Planet Broadcasting ident at the start of Smells Like Teen Spirit. I don't remember that there. I guess they took that out of the radio edit.
Yeah.
Huh. I forgot that they did this song with mouth sounds. It was two idiots doing mouth sounds. Anyway, watch out for those three podcasts coming out.
It'll be Podbet. Podbet will be the pod where we talk about who's winning in the pod in the pod championship.
And also we weigh ourselves.
That's right, yeah. and then we calculate
who's got the most podcast listeners per kilogram of body mass.
That's good, yeah. Look, this is going to be huge.
Because, you know, obviously it's more impressive. Like, the lighter you are, you're going to have more, you know. So another way to succeed in the podcast. That should be the bottom. That'll be the final deciding statistic.
Yeah.
Podcast listeners per kilogram.
Yeah.
You know, and so another way to succeed will be for one of us to undergo some drastic weight loss.
To help your numbers.
Yeah.
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 Cool, yeah, huge, like, just go on a big fast, a big fast binge.
Yeah, real.
Binge on fasting.
Yeah, what would that look like?
You just fast for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You don't eat anything.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, it's the classic way to fast, is not eating anything.
Someone made a good comment online because we talked on the Jack Drews episode, Jack the Drews Sluice. We talked about eating a food that meant that you were constant low-key shitting. And I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but somebody suggested online that if you were what you were eating contained a certain amount of like wood pulp and glue, that constant low key shitting could come out of you like a like the sort of the feeder out of a 3D printer. And you could crawl around building walls or something like that out of like you know out of your whatever fiber and, and glue that you you shit out, and then everybody could be their own 3D printer.
Wow, yeah, that's really nice, especially if you just had a bit of land.
Mm.
If you had a bit of land, you could start from scratch. You know, you got all the wood that you can eat and all the wood and glue that you can eat.
Yeah, the government provides you with a certain amount of like very barely nutritious gluey wood.
Yeah. And then
solve the housing crisis.
Exactly. Then you start piling it up, essentially like an igloo. But you can make it as big as you want and as small as you want. And you get to build it over time. Like, it's just it'll take longer.
It'll take longer, sure. But also, you'll never be able to stop. So I think there'll be a real incentive there to go out and help the community by once you've built your house, you're still going to be constant low-key shitting out your gluey wood pulp. And you're going to have to crawl off, leaving behind you your trail to find maybe a civic area that needs a new rec center built for some kids or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe an ice rink for
an ice rink
for the community.
For the community, like yeah. Another ice rink. Oh, great. Okay. Thanks very much. In the ice rink district.
Like, you know, you got to poop out some kind of like, you know, some kind of refrigerating system.
Mm. Yeah, real cold butthole.
Yeah, like if you could just, maybe you could get, like maybe we could design a machine that just... You sit on it, and then it kind of moves you around like while you're sleeping, and then it just builds things. Like it builds the more complicated things that you can't do when you just, you know, just walking around and stuff. Like more, the finer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, computer chips. And
Well, it would be like in Minecraft, because Minecraft's got very simple building blocks, and yet people are able to build within Minecraft like really complicated like working machines and also computing systems.
Yeah, right.
Which is wild. Like, you know, build up some little functional units of a computer and it'll be exactly the same as that.
Like that.
Out of just gluey wood shit.
Yeah.
You know, build a working computer while you sleep.
We're sort of essentially becoming spiders.
Yes.
You know, with webs, but you know, we're making more complex structures that are not just for catching things.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, except for love or catching help, you know, catching the help. Not the help, but...
Mm. Yeah, I mean, our whole lives are a web that we build to catch love and help. You know, we make a series of connections, right, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the strands of our web. And we just hope that some unsuspecting fly blunders into them.
Yeah.
And then we can wrap them up in a sort of a cocoon of codependence.
Yeah.
And then suck the life out of them. I'm coming across as very negative about relationships on this episode of the podcast.
Oh, I didn't know you were talking about relationships. I thought you were talking about eating flies.
Eating flies. Sorry, yeah. I was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I don't know why I said codependence in that.
Well, we're all dependent on the food that we eat in order to live.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think you could have a thing where like a fly or, you know, two spiders catch each other, right, wrap each other up and start drinking each other, and it's like a spider version of like a 69 or a Roboros or something like that, and, you know, as you swallow the one spider's innards, dissolve them and drink them and turn them into your innards, they're also drinking your innards and turning them into spider innards within that spider.
Mm. Yeah, but whilst that's happening, at some point you're gonna meet up where the innards are coming in to where the eating is happening, and then it's just gonna start spilling out.
Out of each end.
And then at some point you'll just finish eating each other or one will die. And so like unlike the Ouroboros with the snake, which kind of does have like a magical, these ones will just kind of, it's really just a full-on 69 that is just like a finite 69. Like your standard 69 could actually go to infinity. There's nothing stopping.
A standard 69?
From stopping.
No, society.
Only society stops a
society
standard 69.
Society is the only thing.
from stopping that, and maybe the limits of the human tongue.
Fluid.
Right, but...
Do you think we found the limits of the human tongue?
I don't know. I mean, certainly science probably hasn't recorded the limits.
I feel like the tongue could probably do a lot more. You know, like, the tongue, it's doing so much inside our mouths, we don't really see it a lot of the time,
yeah.
Right? And it's moving around. It's unlike any other part of the body, and it can sort of move in any direction. It's a real utility player.
Mm.
And I think the body has kept it inside the mouth to stop it from overshadowing, you know, other things like our limbs and that sort of thing.
Sort of a third hand.
It is a third hand, but we keep it, you keep it really in a prison, right?
Mm, like locked away
behind
an ivory prison.
In an ivory prison. Behind the teeth, which are also act as guards who sort of sometimes bite the tongue to keep it in line gets, you know, any ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that the tongue... And we may have talked about, in fact, have we talked about this on the podcast before?
I don't remember.
We have. We've talked about tongues breaking out on their own. We just got back to an old bit where everybody's tongues head out and survive independently.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a shame. But what if he doesn't escape?
Stays in the mouth.
But I mean,
and just writes poetry.
That's right, like the...
Or trains a bird, maybe.
That sounds beautiful. That's... The only animal that's really achieved that is the hippo, who has birds come into their mouth at all times, and they've trained them. And
do you think that's the tongue?
Well, that's it's the Sweden of tongues. A hippo's mouth is the Sweden for tongues, because it's like the place where people are freest and
tongues are freest because they can communicate
with whomever
they want. I would say that the hippo's tongue is sort of like a Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy. Like Pamela Anderson is able to go and visit Julian Assange,
sure.
But he's still not able to leave.
And is Pamela Anderson a sort of a canary in this scenario?
A canary in the tongue hole.
Who comes and eats the rotten flesh around his sort of Ecuadorian embassy room.
Yeah.
That he keeps quite dirty, apparently, and doesn't clean up after his cat.
Geeks, man. Yeah. They don't clean up. But you missed something great there, Alistair, but I call the mouth the tongue hole, and I think that could catch on.
Absolutely.
Because we've got a bung hole, and now we've got a tongue hole.
Yeah. And it's great. It is spooky. Because, I mean, it's almost like a casing. It's almost like a beautiful package that the tongue comes in. It's, you know, it lays in that little indent down there. It kind of fits real nice.
Mm. And there are layers of packaging as well, right? Because you take back the lips...
Mm.
You still got the teeth there. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's you've wrapped, you've got a box,
yeah,
and then you've put wrapping around it.
Mm. Yeah, so it's definitely the part of the body that you can most unbox.
Yes,
the most unboxable organ.
And it is like, at a pinch, if you'd forgotten birthday presents, you could lay your Christmas presents would be a better example. You could lay your head down under the. Under the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And maybe put a couple of googly eyes on your tongue.
Yeah, right.
Right? And the kids who want a toy, they come down in the morning, they're like, oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Right? And they, you know, really excited, they pull back your lips, right? And then they force open your teeth, and then your tongue pops out. Oh.
For some reason, I'm picturing it like, sort of like, you know, that thing where, like, instead of putting a penis through the bottom of a popcorn box, you just stick your tongue. And you're on a date, and she's eating through the popcorn.
And you're down there.
And you're down there, you got your tongue through, and she reaches, and she gets to the bottom, she goes, oh! And she goes, oh. And then she hand makes out with your tongue or something. I don't know.
Or she... Well, I mean, it could
pizza
be like
delivery.
Because that is the penis in the bottom of the popcorn box.
That's disgusting.
Which I can't believe anyone has ever done.
No,
but it is a way to sort of get somebody to make contact with your genitals in order for them to give you a hand job or something. I guess
you're assuming, I guess, that that's what they want.
So this is the like a version of that, but for getting somebody to kiss you, right?
Instead of a Christian,
you come to them, right, holding a big burger in front of your face.
Yeah.
And you say, I got you a burger. And they eat it there right against your face. But when they get to the far side of the burger, there's your tongue.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Where's your tongue?
That's been in the burger the whole time. Hopefully they don't bite it too much.
The whole patty of the burger has been your tongue. And they, you know, at first they just kind of go, oh, there's a bit of bread before we get to the patty.
Yeah.
But then it's just, they get there and then they get to your tongue and they start like, and they realize straight away.
That it's your tongue. And then before you know it, you're making out.
You're making out.
Because it's so hard to make the first move. Yeah, Nobody knows. You're both in love. You're ready for this.
Yeah.
I think it's awkward. It's awkward.
The person will be so happy that you remove that awkwardness.
Yes.
That you found a workaround.
That they'll quite forget the fact that they ate a burger in front of your face. You were holding
up to your face like that. They don't know. They don't know where you're from exactly. They don't know what the customs are from your.
They don't know where you're from exactly.
You know, and it would be rude to ask. It would be rude to ask super specifically.
Yeah.
And so that, especially this specifically, you know, do you come from a place where it's okay to hold burgers that close to your face when you're giving it to somebody else? Don't ask me. I get that question every day.
You know, a little sausage roll might work as well. Like a little party sausage roll. I reckon you could take the meat out of that.
Yeah.
Stick your tongue right in that, what is that, phyllo pastry casing?
Oh, I reckon so.
And no one would no one would bat an eyelid, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's a one-to-one switch out.
If you're making a Christian porno, right? That doesn't have any sex.
And then just you could take the little bit of sausage that you took out of the sausage roll and sort of hold it next to the sausage roll as if it was your tongue, as if you were poking your tongue out the side.
Oh, yeah.
As a bit of a decoy so they wouldn't think.
They won't suspect.
They
just think that you're being very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, or out of cheek. Anyway, so.
Oh, you're going to stick it out.
I'm going to stick it out there. It's going to be
like
poking
a cigar.
Out. Yeah.
Like I thought you meant it was just poking on the side of your mouth.
Oh,
so
that's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll see the lump. They'll be, that's his tongue there.
Well, that's his tongue. Well, then his tongue's not going to be in this sausage roll.
I could go ahead and eat it in front of his face.
Yeah. You know, Christian porno, that won't have any sex in it. Like that, right? It's knock at the door, pizza delivery, like that. And they open it up, and the pizza delivery guy, he's holding the pizza down about waist height, but also his head is under the thing. He goes, "Here you go, ma'am," like that. And she goes, "Thank you." And she opens it up like that, and it's just his tongue sticking through. And she goes, "Oh."
And she leans down and licks the tongue.
I'd love to marry that, like that.
That's a real, it's a real full-on act, isn't it? Licking a tongue is out, and you just lick it.
But I don't think God's against that.
Right.
I think God doesn't. He's not against sort of tongue licking.
Because it takes place outside of the body.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, the tongue is free at this point. This tongue's never been freer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a free agent.
It's a free agent.
No longer under your control,
and you're not making babies. That's the thing that is against God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and. And I know God also doesn't like pleasures of the flesh, but it probably won't be that pleasurable. It
won't be that great.
Yeah. So, is he? You can't just be against flesh.
Oh, I just keep thinking about the person biting really hard onto your tongue.
Sure, it's a danger.
It's the risk you take
for love. It's the risk you take for love. And nobody ever said that love wasn't risky.
Yeah. Nobody ever said that love wasn't risky. That's why I put my tongue in the sausage roll.
Or a burger bun.
And God never said, if you're feeling frisky, that you can't take a chance with another tongue. In a,
pizza delivery box. I just keep picturing that when the bun, you know, they bite it, get to your tongue.
Yeah.
And they realize, I'm just going to make out with this patty.
Because the patty's still there.
The patty's still there. And
do you think maybe God wouldn't even realize? Say God didn't like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? You could you hide from your the fact that you were making out, your tongues were wrapped around each other's tongues by putting them both inside a burger bun.
Yeah.
Right? And God looking down as he sees everything. But he probably doesn't like he probably doesn't look inside everything. Like if he saw looked down and he saw two people eating a burger, he wouldn't be like, oh, I better have a look under that
top
bit of bun.
Yeah.
To make sure that their tongues aren't touching.
That's right. Yeah, and we know that he can't control free will.
Mm.
So we know that there's limits, and he probably can't see through meat.
And even if he can see through meat, can he see through meat with the level of to the level of detail where he can distinguish between a meat patty and the human tongue?
Yeah, that's right.
Right within that meat, like I imagine, if you did an X-ray of that, which I reckon is probably how God does this kind of stuff.
Okay,
like he looks through with X-rays. I don't think he'd be able to tell, right? Because the two meats are going to look so similar.
Yeah, and just you know, and if he's looking X-ray, he's also seeing into the rock beneath us, like that, and that would be confusing his vision as well.
Yeah, what if it? What if it is tongue? Right? What if you get a burger filled with tongue.
Well, beef like tongue is a
beef
thing.
Tongue, exactly. Right.
That's how you.
And then you make out inside that tongue.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So you're inside the tongue. So it's like a it's like a beef tongue envelope or a beef tongue tube.
Exactly. You carve a hole in a beef tongue.
Yeah.
Right. You both press your face up against either side of the beef tongue, and you lick each other's tongues through the tongue.
Should
and
you?
God
just...
can't tell.
Should you just hollow out two beef tongues
yes.
and just put them over your own tongues and then make out like that?
With big beef tongues?
It's just big beef tongues.
But then I think you're not getting that tongue on tongue. Well, I mean, you're getting tongue on tongue, but it's not tongue on their tongue. It's tongue on the inside of a beef tongue.
But do you think God will be less upset?
I think...
You know, if this was a thing that would bother him, would he be less upset that you're not sort of you know, out of wedlock?
I think he'd be less upset.
Tongue in another person.
Yeah. But I also like the idea of tricking God because he can't tell where the beef tongue ends and your tongue begins.
That's true.
So those are both good.
Yeah.
Right? Getting it on through a tongue window.
Mm. Yeah, tongue tunnel.
Yeah, tongue tunnel. Yeah, great. Can I say it again? Tongue tunnel.
Tongue tunnel.
Or a tongue.
Tongue.
Tongue of love. Look, I think that's a sketch,
I've
right?
Got, yeah. Okay, is it trying to trick God?
Yeah, trying to trick God, and it's some God that doesn't want you to touch tongues. And I'm sure at some stage in our history, God has sort of been pretty harsh on that kind of stuff, right?
Mm.
And maybe this even then comes, you know, you die, right?
Yeah.
And it comes to some sort of legal proceedings in heaven.
That's what would happen.
Right, where God tries to say you don't get to come into heaven, you should go to hell.
Yeah.
Much like an asylum process in Australia, right? If you're trying to come over here as a refugee, we put you through some kind of processing, offshore processing, to work out if you're a genuine refugee.
And
I think it's all pretty inhumane, whatever happens.
Which you can imagine things being... inhumane when you're no longer a human.
Exactly, right? And you're not in heaven yet, and God is against you because he's got his suspicions, right? But you're representing yourself, or maybe you've got a hotshot lawyer, right?
Well, you could imagine if there is there could be an appeals process as well.
You would hope, exactly. There should be an appeals process because I don't think God gets the final say in this kind
that
of stuff, surely.
That feels weird. That feels very dictatorial.
Hmm. Yeah, which doesn't sound like him.
No.
He's a fair God.
Fair God.
Give us another go. Give us a... What's the Supreme Court, you know?
Above God.
Yeah.
Supreme Being Court.
Being Court, yeah. Anyway.
So I got tricking God with a tongue tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got, I think five ideas.
Yeah.
Would you like to look at the words that we have from a listener?
I do. I think that, first of all, I just wanted to say, though, that this necrophilic relationship that's lost its spark, you know, I think at first it will start off a bit disgusting for, you know, to show this to people. But I think it'll progress really nicely and people will be really into watching it as they see the love grow, but then also see them... sort of separate a little bit physically.
Well, she feels very cold. I suppose, would probably be a line that we might try and avoid putting in there because it's a little obvious.
Well, oh, but we could play the song. You're hot and you're cold. You're yes and you're silent.
You're up and you're dead.
You're something I'm...
Dead.
Okay, so the words that we have today are from a listener called Harvey Wiseman.
Harvey Wiseman. Harvey, you're the king of the pods right now because I'm pretty sure I heard you mentioned on a different podcast recently. Maybe it was a Primates.
Sounds like something goddamn Harvey Wiseman would do.
Yeah.
Harvey, thank you for your pledge. If you guys want to pledge, you can pledge $3 to give three words to the pod, or you can do $8 and you can see the two extra episodes on patreon.com/2intank.
And $13 and I'll give you my full address.
Yeah, $13.
We haven't set that one up yet, but that's on the way.
Yeah.
Also, you can buy T-shirts and merchandise.
You can buy...
Which a few people have been doing, and it looks really, really good, and I'm going to get a T-shirt.
Yeah. So if you go to our Twitter, it's our top post, I think, at all times.
Yeah.
You can just link to the Redbubble. But I think it's redbubble.com/2intank.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds like something we'd do.
So, Harvey's three words.
Ah.
You ready?
Yes.
The... Sparrow.
Yes.
Boys.
The Sparrow Boys. I do like the way sparrows hop around.
Is that the one big tail?
Yeah, not that big a tail. I mean, how big? Well, I mean, it's a small bird. How big a tail are you talking?
But it kind of like their tail sort of starts out thin and gets wider on the up.
And they
move that tail like a little bit around, like, you know, they do a bit of curving.
No, I don't think that's a sparrow. I think you're thinking of like a tit. Or maybe a wren. I think you might be thinking of a wren.
I could be thinking of a wren.
A willy wagtail, maybe.
No, I don't know if it would be that.
No, but I think the sparrow's got quite a compact little tail. They're just the little ones who buzz around the bottom of cafes eating all the crumbs and that.
That's a sparrow. I don't know. That was a brown bird.
Yeah. Well, it is a brown bird, but it's a sparrow is the, the designation.
The ones with the little tight little
butts? You're thinking of a swallow. You might be thinking of a swallow.
I think I'm thinking of a swallow.
Yeah, it's the double letter in the middle there and the S at the start and the O at the end.
But I often get suckered into having all the same vowels.
Mm.
You know, that tricks me very easily.
Here's a sketch that I thought of with my wife the other day. It's an off pod
idea. All right, let's.
We're going to allow it. I've got going with my.
Well, yeah, I'm going to start a secret comedy project. I got with my girlfriend.
Yeah, all right, great. It's a husband and it's a bride and a groom, right? They're in the church there, and the bride says, "I, a, you." O, E, and the priest leans over and says, "No," I said, "can you prepare some vows?"
That's good. It's like it's not a full sketch. It's like a
like one of those little bits that you would put into a sketch show just to break it up. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just break it up.
It could be like a wedding themed sketch show.
Yeah,
you know, that way all the jokes could be. Sort of wedding things.
Mm, yeah, and do you
take the bride? Oh, I mean, sometimes if I'm driving. No, that's what we ask when you just gotta say.
Oh, you give her your hand in marriage. Yeah, sure, but I mean the rest of it is as well, not just the hand, because that would be macabre.
It'd be very macabre. What the?
Yeah.
That wasn't supposed to make Andy. You're looking at me like I'm.
No, unless dear.
I'm tearing you apart.
You're making me complete. You know, you're making me whole.
You make me whole.
Because there was a big hole inside of me.
Yeah.
And you filled it up with self-doubt.
Great.
So I'm no longer empty.
We got to focus on the Sparrow Boys.
Okay. Well, you know, Sparrow Boys. You. What about it's this, right?
Okay.
It's like it's a gang. Right? And what they do is they hop into cafes, right? Acting real tough, right? But then they just eat all the leftovers and then they hop away again.
Yeah. Here come the Sparrow Boys. I mean, like, even if you just picture a bunch of, like, you know, diners and that you see them coming.
Yep.
Like that down, you know, and they're like, oh, here comes the Sparrow Boys. like that and they charge it. I mean, maybe this is exactly what you were saying, but there's fear. I think I've added fear. I've added the suspense. Oh no, here they come, and they're like looking real tough like that, and then they just spread out amongst the tables, and they just start picking up crumbs,
and stuff. You know, they jump up on top of a table, right, and they sort of jump around a little bit,
sure.
But always jumping with two legs together. I think is kind of
that's how you do it.
The key sparrow signifier.
I imagine they just can't move their legs separately.
Do you think that once they get stuck inside a shopping center, they don't know how to get back out again?
I think that's a real probability.
Yeah.
And that they have to get a guy with a big net.
Yeah, chases them around.
Yeah. Where would they live? Where do you think they live? Do you think they... See, I don't know where these things nest.
I don't know where they live either. I mean, yeah.
Pipes?
I don't think you see enough birds' nests to account for all the birds.
Mm. Well,
right? Maybe two birds' nests a year.
I don't even know where the birds go at night.
Where do they go? Right?
I've been in a tree at night. I didn't see any birds in there. Yeah. So it's not trees. Do you think there's just a cave?
What were you doing in the tree?
I was just hanging. You know, just climb. You can climb trees any time of day.
Or night.
Or night, exactly.
I think that's real sus. Where all these birds go. Do you think that they're like... Do you think they've all got homes? You know, like houses? Do you think it's like how people are suspicious of like some homeless people that they've actually got a job and like they're doing really well and they've got a house and that sort of thing? A lot of birds just live in just... They just have residential homes.
Like a bird mansion.
Bird mansions, right? But they come into the city and they eat crumbs and they act poor.
Yeah, that would be helped by their brown attire. Brown and grey, that's pretty much...
That's streetwear.
That's sort of street bird attire.
Mm. And you never see any real fancy-looking birds in the city.
And the birds actually live in quite good neighbourhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
So they don't... That's why it says... Don't feed the birds and stuff like that. It's because the birds are actually doing really well.
Yeah.
And they're exploiting you.
They have actually all the bacon that they can eat.
They're rolling in bacon.
I mean, human civilization must be the only scenario in which birds have started eating bacon. Because birds probably are eating bacon, right?
Yeah, I don't think they have much access to bacon in the wild.
I suppose a dead boar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would have boar bacon, wouldn't there be? There'd be
boar
but bacon.
It wouldn't be bacon. It would just be pork or boar pork, right? But bacon is like smoked, you know, and it's got like herbs. You want like hickory or something like that, and you hang it up and,
that's true.
I don't think it gets...
But a pig that died
in
a bushfire.
A bushfire near a sort of a fracture in the earth's crust.
Well, hickory. Isn't hickory a wood?
Yeah, hickory's a wood. So in a hickory fire.
In a hickory forest fire. Hickory forest fire. A boar ran down the path.
The bacon smelt
good.
Good.
The bird ate it. Hickory forest fire out. That was the last character of the story leaving. Hickory forest fire out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like in sitcoms, you never see people like say goodbye properly on phones. You never see people go to the toilet and that sort of thing, like in real life.
Yeah.
Same in poetry. You never see anybody go to the toilet in poetry, and they never say goodbye at the end of a poem.
Yeah. You don't go to the bathroom in a poem. Yeah, you don't sort of have an argument with your kid about going to bed.
Interrupted in the middle of a poem.
Yeah.
Oops, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to just stop the poem here. I'm getting another poem.
Sorry, another poem's coming to me. I mean, you can just have a little conversation. I think that's fun to start a really beautiful poem and then have sort of put into it your kid trying to like interrupt, going, Dad, Daddy, Daddy, like that. And then you go, and you're trying to continue, and then it gets harder. Mm. And then eventually it just becomes, what is it?
Mm.
Cycle.
That's the name of the child?
Yeah.
The child's called Cycle.
Well, you can call him Psyche.
That's true. That does sound good. So did we have... Yeah, so the Sparrow Boys. You've written down Sparrow Boys gag.
Gang.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really... That on surface value doesn't seem like we've added all that much to the...
To the words,
the Sparrow Boys. But, you know, I think there's something there, you know. Yeah, these guys who come into cafes knocking over the tables and sort of, you know.
I mean, the Sparrow Boys...
They're just after the crumbs, you know.
The Sparrow Boys could also be these people who are trying to figure out where birds go at night.
Well, I think that's another...
Yeah.
I think that's a totally different sketch, right? Where we're really sus on birds, that there aren't enough nests.
Yeah, and that it's a big expose.
Yeah. Four Corners could do it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Now, you know, you see the birds swimming around in the pond, right? The ducks, and they, you know, they want bread, whatever. People who come down feel sorry for them and give them bread and that sort of thing. But
pigeons,
what we don't realize is that all these ducks are doing really, really well, and they've got lots of bread of their own.
But just showing, like, you know, also like pigeons, lorikeets, seagulls, right? And then you start showing the number of nests that you see around in the area, like
and,
that,
and it's there's something wrong.
Where do birds actually live?
And then we see a mansion or something. We go and visit some of the mansions that these birds live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them are costing the taxpayer something.
Yeah. Somehow they're also getting welfare.
They're rorting the system.
And then what does that mean about hunters? You know, like duck hunters and that sort of thing.
Duck hunting hunters. Season. Sort of like inner urban duck hunters. People who go down
just the pond down in the botanical gardens and just shooting the ducks.
Getting duck for sort of dinner, grabbing a duck, snapping its neck.
Anyway.
No, my mom told me that once, that her friend had gone down to the local pond in Biga, and she's like, you know, we were making duck, and so we went down to the pond, and what's great is they expect bread, so they just walk straight up to you, and you can just grab them by the neck and go like that. Anyway, but that turns out it was just a gag.
Oh. Well, that takes the edge off it, because I was genuinely horrified.
Yeah, me too.
At your mother, at her friends.
Sure. The people she hangs out with.
The people of Biga.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure the people of Biga probably wouldn't have stood for it either.
I don't know. They seem like a bunch of bystanders to me.
Ducks... do stand, though.
They do. Four things.
Do all birds stand? I guess all birds stand. It's sort of a standing animal.
All birds stand except for hummingbirds. Hummingbirds are... No, wait. Are they the only ones who can't... I think hummingbirds, they might be able to stand, but they can't walk.
Yeah, right.
They're the only bird that can't walk. Hmm. Hummingbird. No legs. Just feet. Just tiny little feet.
Just feet.
Yeah, and they fly everywhere.
Just kind of like a nub?
They sort of really buzz, don't they? Yeah, they're like a nub.
Yeah, right.
But they still have claws, I think, to like hang on to.
Do they ever just like, what if their wings are tired? Like, do they ever just sort of drag themselves along with their sort of with the beak along the ground?
Is it like a kind of a crutch or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they do that. Well, I guess we should do the song to get out.
You want to take us through the sketches you've come up with?
We got necroleptics. These are people who
fall asleep next to the dead.
Yeah, who kind of might need a dead person to fall asleep. We got the necrophilic relationship that's lost its spark.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little man in the stethoscope prank.
There's been some really good stuff in this episode, Al.
Yeah, great.
I feel really tired.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Lacking in any creativity,
me
but
too.
I'm not saying there's not good stuff.
No. Tongue in the burger trick.
Tongue in the burger trick.
Yeah.
What a great trick.
That's a good first date thing. You know, I'm taking the popcorn. That's full on. You want to know somebody pretty well.
You need to be able to trick somebody into going to each of the individual bases before you get to anything really on.
And that's the thing, is that some of the, like, if you're a woman, it doesn't mean you can't do, you know, you can do... I don't know, maybe like, you know, like a series of, you know, you just get like a bag of meringues and put your boob in there. You know, or...
You know, that one actually, that works so much better than any of the other ones.
Yeah.
A boob in a bag of meringues is totally plausible. I mean, you know, admittedly, I don't know much about meringues and how they behave in a sort of a bag scenario.
Yeah, I guess you want them to be relatively, like, it's like
they want to be sort of stale meringues, where they've got a bit soft.
I think sometimes look, it could be a bag of marshmallows.
Perfect.
You know those big giant marshmallows?
Yeah, a bag of giant marshmallows. You just hold it against your chest there in the movie theater.
So if you're a lady who just desperately wants somebody to touch your boob, hopefully your date. The old boob in the bag of
just
marshmallows.
Cut a hole in the side of a bag of giant marshmallows.
And you can do that with any aspect of any base that you want to be on. Mm. You know, you could hide your hand in a bag of spiders.
Yeah, just reach in, grab a spider. Five-legged spiders. I've cut three of their legs off, each of the spiders. Just reach in and grab one. They're huge.
Hairy spider.
Yeah, not hairy. I shaved them all as well.
Oh, good.
I painted them pink. Giant pink five-legged spiders. Just reach into the bag and just grab one. Ha ha. And now you're holding my hand, and it's not awkward.
Mm.
There's still about six or seven spiders in this bag, and they're not happy.
No.
But we are, because we're holding hands. I assume that's your hand and not a spider.
I'm holding your hand as well as two spiders.
Well, that's very, very good.
Yeah, great. You could also sort of get a big box of, sort of, you know, get a meat tray.
Mm.
You know, meat tray maybe of, like, you know, legs of lamb or whatever, and just hide your butt in there. Like that. You just hold it behind you like that.
And then what do they do? Why are they grabbing it?
They're just grabbing for meat. You know, maybe it's a barbecue.
Grabbing for meat.
Yeah, it's a barbecue. You go, hey, can you reach all the meat that's behind me there? Because we're gonna cut it up and do a barbecue.
Can you reach all of the meat?
Can you reach it?
Reach it? Can you
Sorry,
reach the meat?
I can't reach it because of the way I'm holding this box behind me like that.
I think, yeah, you might be able to do that by making a sculpture of your whole upper body.
Mm.
Like those Halloween costumes for like dogs, where it looks like they've got little arms that stick out the sides, and their front legs are their legs.
Yeah.
But their head's still sticking up there. What if instead of that you replaced the whole head, right, and torso, and you somehow strap that to sort of the middle of your back, right?
Yeah.
And then you put a meat tray over you're bending down,
mm-hmm.
or you're bending across, right? And you put a meat tray over your buttocks.
Yeah.
With the meat.
But you look
around.
Like you're...
You look like you're holding it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great. It's just a perception fuck-up.
It's hard. Yeah. And
no,
then your legs
like
look
that.
Like they're in the wrong place, but maybe you could cover them with, like, a sheet or something, and it'll look like your legs are behind where they actually are.
Maybe you could lean back onto, a unicycle.
Yes.
But cover the unicycle with a big skirt. Like that. And then, but with at the bottom, put like two thonged feet. So it looks like you're wearing a sarong. It just looks like you're dressing as
like a really deep and wide sarong.
Yeah.
Like a bustle.
Yeah, like that. But then, and then where your feet are, you put something else to hide the fact that you have feet. Maybe some mirrors.
Yep. No, well, I mean, that's more skirt down there. That skirt that's hanging
that's
off
true.
The meat tray.
Just
the
two
meat
skirts.
Tray's got a skirt.
Well, make it look like each one of, like, one. That's the wheel is one leg, and then the other where both of your legs are is another leg,
and you're walking sideways.
You're walking sideways, holding this meat tray.
Meat tray out to one side.
Out to one side.
And so with you, maybe both your hands could be one leg, and
great.
Your other leg, your two legs are the other leg, and then you've got to walk. Yeah, this is going to work great.
I think this is the best Halloween costume to get people to grab your butt.
You have to keep asking them to
empty out your
can
meat
you reach
tray.
The meat?
Can you reach the meat? Your bare buttock is there with just a whole bunch of uncovered meat. It's Sorry, I'm going to be barbecuing soon. Can you get that meat?
What kind of meat is it even supposed to be?
Just big chunks that...
chunks of meat.
Yeah. Just like, you know...
I think you could conceivably, like, put a bit of that netting kind of stuff over the cheeks. Make it look like lamb? No, pork or something? Yeah. You can make it look like pork.
Oh, you could make just put
stick a bit of a bone on the side or something.
Sure, you could stick a bone in the side. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be your penis.
This is going to be hard to get it up there next to the butt.
True. That's true. You're right. You could use someone else's penis. Get a second person in the costume.
Yeah, it's like, can you reach some of that meat? Don't be afraid to grab it by the bone.
And then, so somebody under you who's riding an incumbent bicycle.
Recumbent
bicycle. And you're standing on its spread eagle. Like that. With your butt out, but your head...
If anyone listening can draw a diagram of what they think this would look like, and see, work out if you think this could be pulled off.
Yeah.
Right? Pulled off like the guy whose bone is...
I think the penis part went too far.
It did, and it was obscene.
It was obscene.
It was disgusting, and as we've established, this is a Christian podcast. We're trying to find ways to trick God into letting us tongue each other.
Tongue each other. It's a Christian God podcast. It's like...
We want God to be happy.
Yeah, we love God. We don't want him to be upset by seeing
people
touching tongues.
And he can't tell the difference between tongue and tongue. That's one of his blind spots.
One. And it's our job as Christians to find all of his blind spots. So as to not upset him.
Imagine if we found out that God was colorblind.
Oh. It'd be hard to... He'd lose his respect.
I think we could find that out as well. We just have to write something really blasphemous, but using one of those colorblind... Yeah. Things with all the dots where they ask you if it's a 7 or a 9 or something like that.
And if it gets hit by lightning.
And if you get smited, then we'll know.
Yeah. Well, it's worth doing. It's a good experiment. Then we got the Sparrow Boys gang. And.
Yep.
Wait, tricking God with a tongue tunnel. And there's also tricking God with a tongue tunnel. Sparrow Boys gang, they just come in and they raid the crumbs.
Yep.
And they go, we got this expose.
Where
do birds go at night?
They're doing okay. Don't need to worry about the birds.
They're doing pretty good. Birds go at night.
You feeling good about this one? Because I hit a real groove. A real deep groove.
I think rhythm-wise we were going okay. I think we're just... You know, it's always a risk trying to do notes in this thing because... Because, I mean, we're both not in control of notes.
And Alistair, you're being very generous by using the word we there.
So to aim for harmonies is really, really ambitious for us. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we wrap up this episode. I'm Alistair George Williams, humbly virtual, and you can find me at AlistairTB.
I'm Andy, and you can find me at Stupid Old Andy. We are at Two in Tank.
We're at patreon.com/2intank as well.
Yeah.
If you want to donate, it really helps. We're about 4/10 of the way to our biggest goal.
That's amazing, by the way.
Thank you to everyone who's
contributed so much to getting us that far.
George is getting
money. You know who you are.
George is getting money.
That was all we ever wanted, was for George to get some money. George is getting paid, and we're on the way to being able to spend a day a week working on writing and performing sketches.
I think
for
it's
you guys.
A day a month.
Day a month. Sure. But we're on the way to the day of the week as well.
We're on the way to being fully employed.
If you drive up a hill, you're on your way to the moon, Alistair. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely, Andy, and I'm not arguing with you about
that.
Right.
You drive up a hill, you climb up a tree,
you're
an astronaut in my book.
Yeah, which is
You fall out of that tree, you're returning to Earth after an unsuccessful mission to the moon.
That's
all I'm saying.
And that's in your book. Yeah. Who is an Astronaut by Andy Matthews.
Am I an astronaut? And we love You.
Also, you can review the podcast, and that really helps us.
Oh man, that'd be so emotionally. Good. We love it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.